Bring your favorite pot and we'd be happy to share it with you.
We're having pot for that Saturday morning. Good evening. It's good to see you tonight. Happy that you're here.
Your voice is good.
It's getting there. I think we're on the right track. It's good to see you. We have visitors with us, as we've already expressed. You're always welcome, and it's good to see you. We have been studying the Eternal Kingdom, church history. Specifically, we've been discussing and talking about looking at the Lord's church from the first century and beyond. Last week, we were looking at some Roman emperors, and you remember some of these emperors that we've already discussed: Claudius, Nero, Vespasian, Domitian, Trajan, and Hadrian. Tonight, we're going to continue to look at Roman emperors and their involvement, their actions, and their attitudes towards Christianity. Let's turn into our books. Does everybody have a book? Let's start with that. Does everybody have a book? Everybody got a book? Mike, give him a rough way to go. Does everybody have a book? Who does not have a book?
I do.
Okay, see. Oh, Ithmar, what are you doing back here? You're supposed to be sitting up here. All right.
There's more in my office. That's one extra copy. And in the box. There's a box. Black box. All right. Thank you.
And then when Austin comes back with, you're good, stay. He's getting it for you. So
you order a guy to move. He gets up to move. I tell you.
Military guy to move.
I mean, yeah.
That's right.
What did you expect?
Rebecca? Yes.
She needs a book.
Rebecca needs a book. Okay. Rebecca needs a book. Ithgar needs a book. Who else needs a book?
I'm going to borrow one. I can't find one.
Okay. So let's do this. If you own a book and you borrow a book, please make sure I get it back.
Yeah, you get it back.
Okay. Good job. So Rebecca needs a book. Right back here. Rebecca, raise your hand.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Ithgar needs a book. Yeah, sorry. Anybody else need a book? Oh. Look at him. He's still smiling after that Browns win.
Feel like I'm in middle school again, helping the teacher.
Thank you. Where's my apple? You didn't bring an apple. You came to class.
I'll put a worm in one for
you. All right. Yeah, it's kind of important that you have a book. We can follow along here. All right, let's look on page 91. Melanie, I don't know what page it is, because we've got two different copies here. It's Antoninus Pius is who I want to look at. Page 91 is... Lloyd, what page do you have? 90. Okay, 90. It's about halfway down. Okay, who wants to read that one paragraph there during the reign of Antoninus Pius? Who wants to read that? Go ahead, Austin.
During the long reign of Antoninus Pius, Christians were subject to persecution, but we have no account of actual cases. He received a written defense of Christianity, which might have influenced him towards a lenient policy, for he wrote letters of instruction that violent measures should not be taken against the Christians. This policy was opposed by certain influential subordinates, and when Marcus Aurelius became emperor in 161 AD, he fell in with the view that Christians were dangerous to the state.
Okay, thank you. So there's no account or actual persecution of Christians that we have. What might have influenced him, though, to be lenient towards Christians? What might have influenced him to be lenient towards Christians?
Also, previous to this, Hadrian really persecuted Christians.
Okay, so, you know, he went easy on them. Okay. He wasn't thirsty for blood. Dale,
They weren't a militant group. They obeyed civil law.
Okay.
The only thing that was different is they couldn't deny Christianity and accept idols.
Okay.
That was the only thing.
Okay.
But they didn't understand it.
Okay. Good point. What about the apologist? What about the apologist? What's an apologist? Okay. You're apologizing for your faith, right? Is that what you're doing? No.
Defending.
What? You're defending your faith. Okay. So you guys have to remember at this time, there were letters also that were circulating from apologists where they were defending Christianity. Okay. So that was also something that we need to keep in mind with regards to the influence, persuasion. We look at were lenient sentiments agreed on by all, though. That's the last bullet up here. By all of his subordinates, all those within his cabinet. Antonius, Pius. Did everybody come to that consensus? We need to go easy on Christians.
Nope.
No. Why not? Why not? I mean, this is, it's not in that paragraph, but we're allowed to think, right? You know, we're allowed to do that. You know,
because the Christians still didn't worship Caesar.
Okay.
I believe that Caesar was a deity.
So keep in mind that the emperors have the attitude that they are God as well. And church and state, it's one, okay? It is one. And so, you know, the atheist, now you and I, the way we talk about atheists, an atheist doesn't what? Believe in who?
God.
Okay, they don't believe in God. But in their view, you're an atheist if you don't believe in their God, okay? So there's that, okay? Any other thoughts? Linda. There it is. You know, how do you put it back in the box? You know, it's like chum in the water. You know, you're just inviting, you know, a feeding frenzy. Okay? And you can have leaders that will say, well, I'm not going to be as intense, but still yet, there's hate. Okay? There's dislike. Okay? So, again, yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Don.
Yeah, this particular Caesar ruled for 28 years, I guess. Never left Rome. Never commanded an army. Basically, he was just an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think one of the reasons why he didn't start a persecution was that he really was just kind of standing in place for 23 years.
Right.
He was in charge, and he didn't do any terrible things. That's why they added to his name the word pious.
Yeah.
Because he was a nice guy, basically.
Yeah. You know, didn't cause any waves. You know, just let's just keep things to status quo, you know. But again, you got to remember, there are people that were surrounding him that were basically, let's get him.
So, for example, when cities had fires or earthquakes or whatever, he would relieve them from their taxes to help them to rebuild. I mean, this was a pretty cool Caesar when you get right down to it.
Because they were much worse.
Oh, yeah. He was what's called the five good emperors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Austin.
With that being said, like, it does look like he just kind of let things sit as they were and was not making way. We also don't see him really fighting against persecution of the Christians. We just see him.
Neutral.
Yeah, he's just not pursuing it at all.
Yep.
Yeah, he's just kind of happened. He's neutral.
Because Hadrian was really the same way. He didn't directly go up to persecute Christians, but he just left the laws of Trajan the same place.
Right, right. Right.
I mean, I think that's the Christians being a common enemy of the Roman civilization was almost destined to happen from the fact that while you had several gods that the Romans worshipped, along with the Caesar, which all of the Romans worshipped, the Christians would have more or less kept to the same let themselves fall into any of that behavior. So there was a good chance that you were going to know who the Christians were in Rome because they weren't at those parties. They weren't subjecting themselves
to... Are you saying the church is distinct? You know? Sounds like it. Okay?
Sounds like that's the way the church, the Lord intended for the church to be today. You know, in the world, not of the world. You know?
Exactly.
You know, collectively together.
It's easy to recognize and very easy to misunderstand, so very easy to hate.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Good points. Okay, let's move on to our next
emperor, Marcus Aurelius.
Okay, let's see here. This is a lengthy section, I think. So we're gonna require some reading and some help from you guys. So let's do this. Let's have someone to just read the first paragraph, then I'm gonna have someone else to read the next three paragraphs, which are the actually the quotes, what is written, and then we'll finish it up here in just a little bit. Who wants to take the first paragraph there? Lloyd.
Under Marcus Aurelius, persecution broke out in various parts of the empire. Justin and a group of Christians were beheaded in Rome in 166. Polycarp and 11 others were killed in various ways. Persecutions were also carried out in Thyatira and Laodicea. After the death of Polycarp, the church at Smyrna gave an account of the recent persecution. This is the earliest known contemporary account of Christian martyrdom. Its genuineness is under question. The letter begins, "We write to you, brethren, the story of the martyrs of the blessed Polycarp." It then tells of the suffering and torture endured by the saints until the multitudes began to cry out to Polycarp. He had gone into the country where he moved from one farmhouse to another. When the police found him, he requested an hour of undisturbed prayer and asked his host served supper to the officers. On the way to the city, the police tried to persuade him to say Lord Caesar and to save himself. He replied, "I'm not going to do what you counsel me." And he entered the community with a great uproar. Here, let us quote the original description.
Okay, thank you, Lloyd. So let's just go ahead and stop and let's look at our first few points here. So list some examples of how persecution broke out against the Christians. They're listed here. What are some examples that we have?
11 and Smyrna.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Anyone else? You've got those. You got Justin and a group of Christians were what?
Beheaded.
Wow. They were beheaded in 166. So, and you've got Polycarp, and you've got others that are being rounded up and being persecuted. Dale.
Well, then you've got some crooked people that wanted to get ahead, so they accused them of being dead, to be persecuted and killed, so they could get their property, and it got kind of out of hand.
Well, you know, and there was that. Their property was being confiscated, stolen from them, absolutely. You know, not only were you losing your life, I think they would have gladly given up their property, just, you know, as far as losing your head, you know, that's taking it to the extreme. So, but yeah, I mean, this is, you know, how sad this is. And all of a sudden we see Polycarp, you know, a bishop, Smyrna. We see the account of him being arrested. When Polycarp was arrested, you know, first of all, what did he request? Don't miss the small details here.
An hour of prayer.
Sweet hour of prayer. Don't we sing that?
And the thieves.
Well, okay, and we're getting to that. You know, I love the idea. We see what a spiritual giant he was. It's just to say, you know what? Give me time alone with God. Let me talk to God. While that's happening, like Dale said, make sure they're fed well, they're taken care of. Be a good host, be hospitable. That's incredible, guys. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, and someone read verses 17 through 21. Dale.
Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Was that Polycarp? Yeah. That is Polycarp to the T. That is Polycarp to the T. Yes.
Polycarp's name in Greek means much fruit.
Much. That's interesting. That's good. Yes.
This location that he's got in the arena, knowing that he was going to be put to death, is really a conviction of what Christianity is about.
Mm-hmm.
He understood what Christianity was. You can do what you want to me, just like one of the apostles said, death is gain.
Right.
You do what you want to, and you're going to burn me up. You have no idea. This fire is temporary, it'll go out, but the fire you're going to face is totally different.
Well, let's.
That man had convictions, and he wasn't afraid to stand up.
Oh, there was no fear. It's all faith.
No.
It was all faith. Since you mentioned that, Dale, you know when I read this now, this quotation. This is what the brethren at Smyrna. They have recorded, okay, it's a very reliable source. When I look at this, how many of you have ever seen the movie Braveheart? My favorite movie of all time. Okay,
Braveheart.
This is a Braveheart moment right here. This is Braveheart before Braveheart was Braveheart. Okay, you know William Wallace can't hold a candle to Polycarp, actually. Okay. Let's read this. Who wants to read this section right here? Go ahead, David.
Therefore, when he was brought before the proconsul, asking if he were Polycarp, when he admitted it, he tried to persuade him to deny, saying, respect your age, and so forth, as they are accustomed to say, swear by the genius of Caesar, repent, say, away with the atheist. Polycarp, with a stern countenance, looked on all the crowd of lawless heathen in the arena. Waving his hand at them, he groaned and looked up to heaven and said, away with the atheist. And when the proconsul pressed him and said, take the oath and I let you go, revile Christ, Polycarp said, for 86 years I have been his servant, and he has done me no wrong, and how can I blaspheme my king who saved me? But when he persisted again and said, swear by the genius of Caesar, he answered him, you vainly suppose that I will swear by the genius of Caesar, as you say, pretend that you are ignorant of who I am, listen plainly. I am a Christian. And if you wish to learn the doctrine of Christianity, fix a day and listen. The proconsul said, persuade the people. And Polycarp said, you I should have held worthy of discussion, for we have been taught to render honor as is meet, if it hurt us not, to princes and authorities appointed by God. But as for those, I do not count them worthy that a defense should be made to.
Next paragraph, David.
And the proconsul said, I have wild beasts. I will deliver you to them unless you repent. And he said, call for them. For repentance from better to worse is not allowed us. But it is good to change from evil to righteousness. And he said again to him, I will cause you to be consumed by fire if you despise the beasts unless you repent. But Polycarp said, you threaten with the fire that burns for a time and is quickly quenched. You do not know the fire which awaits the wicked and the judgment to come and everlasting punishment. Why are you waiting? Come, do what you will.
Wow. I mean, what I tell you, I get chills when I read that. I mean, that is incredible. So the question before us is, and they're easy to find, what are some key statements that just amaze you as you're reading his response before the proconsul?
Well, what do you see? What are some things? Austin.
Right off the bat, the first one that I notice is where the consul asks him to say, away with the atheist.
Yep.
That's
what I had
sure,
to say.
Absolutely.
Away with the atheist. You know, it's kind of humorous, isn't it?
Because
right.
Understanding that the Christians are atheists, Polycarp knowing
right.
Can say
he's
that
talking about them.
Yeah, he's like, I can say that, no problem.
That's a great point, you
well,
know?
It wasn't until the
and the tone was set.
He was totally okay with saying that he pressed him into revival in Christ, which is what he originally meant. He thought saying, away with the atheist would mean.
Yes, that's the first thing I had noticed as well. It's like, say away with the atheist. Okay, away with the atheist. You know, he's talking about them. It's kind of humorous. Dale.
Here's a man that knows he's from God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of how. And he stops in the middle of it and says, if you want to learn about it, you set a day and time and we'll have a Bible study. He didn't say not to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, set up a time and date and I will come over and explain to you what God's about.
So
now,
that's
not a copy, baby. You tell me what it is.
He says, you're right. And Polycarp said, I should have held worthy of discussion, where we have been taught to render honor as is meet or necessary. If it hurt us not, it says to princes and authorities appointed by God. But as for those, I do not count them worthy that a defense should be made of them. And he's saying, you know what? Again, you know, we're peaceful, loving people. We obey the king and we honor the king, and we live a peaceful life. But Dale, what you're talking about is right before that. And if you wish to learn the doctrine of Christianity, fix a day and listen. So take your Bibles out.
He understood that saying, my word will not return to me.
He did. Take your Bibles out. Let's go to John chapter 9 real quick. So you're aware of the events.
Yes.
I was just going to do another one of the things that we were talking about.
Okay.
And remind me, I forget. So, John chapter 9. So in John chapter 9, here's Jesus and his disciples. They notice that a man is there, he's blind, and they make some theological case out of him. Who sinned, him or his parents? And I love Jesus' response. In verse 3, he says, neither this man or his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Hey, look, here's an opportunity. You know, to heal and to help this man, let's just not, you know, make a theological puzzle out of this or try to make it something that it's not. Let's just help the man, okay?
Sounds like a bunch of politics.
Well, it can even sound like some Christians sometimes whenever you don't want to help the man. No, you help him. No, you help him. No, you help him. You know, just help him, you know? And Jesus says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Here's my opportunity. You're not going to live forever. Okay, here's my opportunity. Redeem the time. Didn't Paul say that? Redeem the time, for the days they are evil. He says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Okay, so then you know what happens. He, you know, he spits on the ground. He makes little mud pies. He puts them in his eyes. Man, I'm starting to rap. I am a rapper. No, I'm not. But anyway, and he tells him to go down to the pool of Siloam and to wash. What happens? Comes out of there, he's blind. He can't see, right? Jesus' miracle failed, right?
Yeah.
Wrong. Okay? It worked. He's able to see. Okay? And everybody's happy. It doesn't matter that it occurred on the Sabbath. Even the Pharisees were happy, and they all lived happily ever after, right?
Wrong.
Wrong. They were all upset. You know, this guy, his condition, he couldn't see. Where's your heart? You know, and now he can see. You should be rejoicing. But they're not. Okay? Just a second, Dale. So, you know, what happens is, you know, the Pharisees gang up on him. And I think this is interesting. You know, they've got all kind of questions for him. What do you think of him? Verse 17. You know, well, I think he's a prophet, he says. Right? He's not just some ordinary man. Okay? And they're trying to get him to denounce Christ. They bring his parents in verse 20, okay? And his parents, they stand up for him, right? Loving parents, right?
Yeah.
What do? He's of age. Ask him.
Yeah,
you wait. You know, you're not going to be getting a Hallmark card for your birthday. You know, you're off my list. You know, So they leave, they hang him out to dry. And why is that? Why did they do that? Yep. That's it. Guys, the synagogue was the heart of the Jewish life. Seriously. I mean, that's everything went through the synagogue. You're right, okay? You lose your identity if you're kicked out of the synagogue, okay? So they called him. They called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner." And he answered, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know is that I was blind and now I see." Then they said to him again, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he said, "Look, verse 27." He answered, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Look at this. Why do you want to hear it again? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his what?
Disciples."
That's what Polycarp is saying. That's what Polycarp is saying. Hey, look. You want to become his disciples? Man, whenever I read that, I thought immediately of this story. And this blind man is saying, hey, look. Look what he did for me. You want him to do something good for you too? You want to be his disciple? You know? Man, they were mad. They were so mad. But and now that's what I think of. Go ahead.
You know, we have a lot of questions asked, why did the apostles do all of these miracles and stuff? Well, right here it says in verse 4, he said it himself, mm-hmm. to do the will of my Father, so you can believe who I am.
Mm-hmm.
That was the reason. Right there it is. It's black and white.
Right. What else did he say? Guys, there's more to it. There's more being on the boat. Go ahead.
So what I was going to bring out was, for 86 years I have been his servant, and he has done me no wrong.
That's another one. Amanda, you're exactly right. I got that. Wrote that down. For 86 years, he's been my God. You know, Christ has been my Lord. He has never let me down. He has always been there for me. And I'm not going to have a weak moment and now all of a sudden deny him. It's just not going to happen. Go ahead.
Well, Jerome and other early writers point out that he was a direct disciple of the Apostle John.
Yes, that's true.
And that he, that it was John who had appointed him as an elder at Smyrna.
Mm-hmm.
So this is somebody who had a direct link with one of the apostles.
Yes, yes, he was close to the action, as close as you can get, you know? And this was a no-brainer for him. You know, I don't care, bring the wild beast. That's all right.
Big deal.
Yeah. Right. Start the fire, you know? It was easy for him. Go ahead.
One of the strongest instincts of a human being is survival. But here's a man that knows he's going to die, and he puts that aside to do what he knows he's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It didn't have the power over him because he knew what was coming.
Right. 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 Good point. Look at the last paragraph on page 92. It says, they say, "I have wild beasts. I will deliver you to them unless you repent." And he said, "Call for them, for repentance from better to worse is not allowed us." Why would I do that? Why would I go from better to worse? Did you hear what he said? I'm not going to do that. You know, who in their right mind goes from better to worse? So, you know, and that's another comment that he made. And then he goes on and he says, "But it is good to change from evil to righteousness." He's preaching to him again, isn't he? But I'm going to tell you, it's good to go from evil to godliness, goodness to righteousness. Okay. What else do you see there? There's still a little more meat on that bone. Go ahead.
He asked the question. Y'all wait for.
Yes.
Go ahead and do your thing. Do your will.
Okay. Yeah. Not afraid. Yeah.
Let fire for a short time.
And that's the way he ends it. And I think you alluded to that earlier as well. Yes. Go ahead.
On a list of things that he can do, trying to hit something that, you know, an animal is terrible. I mean, it'll rip you to shreds, but it's quick, usually. And then fire, probably fire is the worst thing that could ever happen. To me, being burnt to death is probably the worst and most frightening thing that I could ever go into because I dealt with it and what people go through when they're burnt 60, 70, 80, 90% of their body and you have to It is the most miserable, longing thing that you'll ever go through, and the most terrible thing that you could probably ever do. And to do that slowly. And to have him say, you know, don't tie me down, don't nail me down. Just put a rope around me and light the fire.
Right, and light the fire.
It had to be excruciating. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah. Yes. You know, earlier we started to look at this scene unfold. I got you, Sam. We started to look at this scene as it was unfolding. I want you to think about those that were gathered around him. Not just the church, but those that arrested him. How hard that had to be for them to stand back and to watch, you know, and witness, you know, this. There was no woohoo, high fives, you know. This is something they didn't want to see. And why is that? Here's the point. Why is that? Why? What was it that was so powerful about this man that strangers, non-believers, could look to his example, something that powerful, and be that touched and that moved? Now, you and I know it's Christ in his life. He's entirely different from the world. You know, it's light. The world's darkness. Okay? And to be so good, so loving, and so kind, and they knew he was innocent. They knew he was innocent. And I guess my question for us is, aren't we supposed to be the same way? Seriously. Someone told me one time about an individual that had won many souls to Christ. He said, how did you get him to become Christians? Was it a door-knocking campaign? Was it literature you were passing out? He says, no, it was my example. It was just my example, you know, of just being that light, and people are drawn to it. Okay, not everyone, obviously. Sam.
Yeah, you pretty much summed it all up. I was going to say that what got me the most was his proclamation.
Yes.
He said, no matter what you do, you vainly suppose that I'm going to change who I am. Listen, people, not an atheist, not this. I am a Christian.
Right.
And everything that means, everything that entails, that's who I am. Do what you want to
do. Right.
I am a Christian.
Right, right. And that's a fact. Go ahead.
I look at his reverence to Christ and asking to be tied to the wood rather than being nailed to it.
Oh, good point.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, could you hear about that? Like, we've got the story within the Catholic Church that Peter was, you know, crucified hanging upside down
right, for
the same reason. But this is an example where we've got really good sources that state that this is how it went down.
Mm-hmm.
And it really makes you think, like, had Jesus been tied to the cross, he might have asked to be nailed to it.
Mm, good point. But, you know, when we're looking at this, Austin, why did they grant him that? Why did they not nail him to wood? Why did they tie him? Why did they, just think about that for a moment. Why did they do that? Why not just say, are you kidding me? He may run. Nail him to the cross. Nail him to the wood. You know? Nail him to the platform.
He made clear from everything that he wasn't about.
They knew he wasn't going to run, Don.
That's right.
Okay? Here's a man where Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's where people have integrity. Okay? I don't have to guess. I don't have to just, I hope, you know, he is who he says he is. You know, Jesus spent his entire ministry fighting and disputing with hypocrites. And those weren't his disciples. Okay? Those were people who were practicing a false religion, exalting their own traditions above the Word of God. Okay.
When they insisted that he say, I believe in Caesar instead of Christ.
Yes. They were all insistent on that. Exactly. Yes. You know?
That was the repentance they were asking him to do.
You can go home if you do that. Imogene, if you just say Caesar is Lord, you can go home. You know? Respect your age, Imogene! I know I'm not going to make it too personal. Find out how old you are. But, you know, be respect your age. Act more mature. Okay?
Well, I think one of the things that Irenaeus wrote about him was that when he visited Rome, that he converted a lot of the followers of Marcion and Valentius that we've already studied about, mm-hmm. the folks who had gotten off into heresy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, again, I think it was just an example of
what other apostle did that? Who went to Rome as a prisoner? Those from Caesar's household send greetings.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Man, I tell you, you know, exactly. Good point. Man, he's the real deal, guys. You know, he's the real deal. Okay, this is powerful. All right, so let's look at this next paragraph and then we'll move on. Where do I want to go? Let's read, because I don't, the next, where it says after saying this, let's read that paragraph, the next paragraph, and the next paragraph. Who wants to read those three little paragraphs right there? The next three short paragraphs are going to be read by Raymond.
Hey.
Thank you, Raymond.
Okay. After saying this, the proconsul ordered him to be burned, and the Jews worked zealously to gather the wood. At Polycarp's request, he was fastened without being nailed, and during fervent prayer, he gave his life for his faith. During this persecution, informers began to accuse Christians in order to obtain their property. This became so common that Melito, Bishop of Sardis, wrote to Marcus Aurelius asking for an investigation of the murders and robberies being carried out in the name of loyalty. He goes on to explain that the church is not deserving of punishment, and that if an examination were made, the emperor would remove the persecution. The emperor, however, was biased against the Christians and was inclined to blame all of the calamities of his reign to the growth of Christianity. In order to have an easy test to distinguish true Christians, a type of loyalty oath was devised.
Okay, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. So what apologist wrote to Marcus Aurelius about the unjust persecutions? Okay, Melito. Judge Melito. Oh, I don't know. You know, but, you know, and what was he writing? What was he saying? What was he encouraging him to do? You know, if you're not afraid of the truth, let's just open it up. You know, let's look at this. Let's investigate this. Okay? Did he? No. He did not. Okay? Because he was biased. Right? And, well, I tell you what. My mind kind of flips back a few pages and you think about Pilate, who truly knew Jesus was innocent, right? But still yet sent him to the cross. Why was that? Please the multitudes. Please the multitude. And the scriptures tell us they were envious of Jesus. They were envious of him. Okay? And I thought that's interesting. Who's gathering the wood? Oh, let's get the wood. And gather it real quick. That's who's gathering the wood. The Jews were. Right? Okay? So it just shows what disdain that they had. And guys, whenever you see this, and you see the confrontation, not only in Jesus' day, but whenever the first century church, the gospel was being spread, evangelism was occurring, and you see confrontation with the Jews, this kind of gives you a glimpse of the hatred that they had for Christians. Right? We'll gather the wood. As a matter of fact, I do recall a fellow by the name of Stephen being stoned to death, and a fellow on the other end saw the saint slayer saying, "Get him, boys." Remember that? You know, guys, it was hard. It was hard. Now, we're not going to get into... I want you to read this, because as we go on, we're going to look at Felicity. Right? And who's the other disciple? Female disciple? What is it? Next page. Sorry. Yes, Perpetua. Okay. This too is a very emotional read. Okay? This will test your faith personally. Okay, as if Polycarp wasn't enough, and you think about a mother and her love for her child,
This is an emotional read. I want you to also read Matthew chapter 10 along with that.
And I want you to consider what Jesus is sharing with us here with regards to being a disciple of his in Matthew chapter 10. And you can begin in verse 24. That's kind of a homework assignment. Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 and following. And really pay attention as you read these two primary examples of these two faithful women under Christ. And you read Matthew chapter 10. Dale.
You know, a lot of people say, well, one person can't make an impression, or one person can't do much. When you read that paragraph, understand and don't forget that in the middle of that thing, another woman stood up and she just blurted out, I'm a Christian. Uh-huh. And then there were three other guys that did the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And what happened to them? But they weren't afraid to stand up and say, I am, and knowing what was going.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, guys. Well, that's where we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Give you a couple minutes to go ahead and talk with one another. And then when the bells ring, we'll leave. Sorry for that.